All right, it is Father's Day weekend, and Sandra G., thank you so much for chatting with Will Clark. We'll have a few of those with Sandra over the course of the weekend. Will Clark, a good father figure to many of the Giants. Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going really well. It's nice to hear Will Clark. I don't know if you got to hear that little piece by Will, but boy, he is a father figure, I will tell you that, to a lot of Giants.
Well, yeah, he is. You know, he shows up, and right away you feel a little bit better. He's just got such a great way about him. You know, he's such a character, and he's eccentric. But, you know, the things he did on the field, if you saw it at the time, you were in complete awe of this guy. And he's got an awful lot to say when he gets serious and talks hitting. You know, he's one of those guys that you really want to listen to. Even if you're a right-handed hitter, I mean, he'll get in there and tell you the basics. So, yeah, always great. I love Will. I'd love to see him.
Mm-hmm. You think we appreciate him more now as a hitter, as a player, than we did years ago?
No, I don't think he could have been any more appreciated than he was at the time. I mean, it's just solidified by the base hit up the middle against Mitch Williams. I mean, he was just a god. I think if he'd had a big World Series and the Giants had won it, that might have elevated him some. But I don't know about the general fan, but, you know, among the fans who really know the game and writers and I thought he was on a Hall of Fame path. Mm. He definitely was for those early years. Near the end, and when it became apparent that he had to go, that's never good. You know, he had some years left, and maybe lost a little bit. But I just think as a pure hitter, I think he was recognized by the right people.
Mm. Boy, I love the image of that single up the middle.
Yeah.
That's still one of the great moments in Giants history. Well, Bruce, the Giants are cruising along here. They've won 7 of 8, something like, I think, 11 out of 18, something like that. They're not hitting much. Their pitching in June has been terrific, and they took on the Pirates last night. Rodon almost threw a no-hitter last night. I thought he was going to do it.
Every time out, you're thinking that's a possibility, and it's great to see. He made a couple little fixes, I guess, in his mechanics, and he's right back to being, just about unhittable with the two, all-world pitches. What a great way to open the road trip with a shutout in Pittsburgh. It's going to be about the pitching. I don't think the Giants are ever going to resemble the Phillies or the Yankees, down the stretch. But, Rodon and Webb, both of those guys could be in the All-Star game. Cobb and DeSclafani are coming back pretty soon, I'm reading. And Alex Wood's been very good, so I think they're in really good shape. They're 3.5 out. The Padres actually have the lead right now by a half game, so it's going to be a fantastic stretch drive.
Yeah, let's take a look at the West. It's always fun to do that each week that you and I get together. Padres had a pretty good week. Of course, they hit the Cubs pretty good, and then they got walloped last night by Colorado, and Musgrove went on the COVID list. Tatis got the news that he's not close to being ready. But, Bruce, the Dodgers, they've got some issues. They're not hitting at all, and Betts collided the other day, and we'll talk about that in the Anderson game. And the Dodgers, other than Gonsolin and Anderson, they're not really crunching, the league right now. How about the West?
Yeah, it's funny to think that the Dodgers aren't hitting.
They're not.
You open up with Betts, Freeman, Turner, the other Turner, Will Smith, Taylor. I mean, it's just they are going to hit. I can't imagine an entire season where they're lamenting. Bellinger jacked one out. That was a good sign for them, but they've had little issues all the way along. They're 39-24, but they seem vulnerable. They've had problems in the rotation. Kershaw pitched well last night, but yeah, right now it's kind of all about Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson in the rotation. Gonsolin out of St. Mary's, local guy, who's come on out of nowhere. John Shea did a story on him a while back about he only pitched at St. Mary's because it was something to do. They were out of pitchers. Well, I think I could try that. And next thing you know, he's actually had a very good year. And Tyler Anderson did sort of flirt with the no hitter before Ohtani got him with the Angels. But it's their rotation is very much in flux. Anything could happen. Anybody could you know, go down. Bueller's out. That's a huge, huge drag for them because he's the main guy. So, yeah, I think the Giants look at them and they're just not that they're not that terrified.
No, right now, and the season ebbs and flows, and the Dodgers right now are not hitting the ball. But how about Tyler Anderson the other night? And we'll talk about no hitters here in a second, but. Bruce, I think he was up to 120 pitches maybe or so, and all of a sudden he lost it. Ohtani got the hit in the ninth inning, the triple, to bust up his no-hitter. How about that one?
Yeah, that was wild. I did mention that. You're thinking, first of all, you're thinking, who is Tyler Anderson? That's the first thing. he's been coming on pretty strong, but I just thought it was great that he had a chance to finish it off in the ninth inning. When you talk about, Dave Roberts actually ran down all the times he's taken guys out. I mean, he did Ross Stripling and Bueller and Rich Hill and Kershaw, and one after another, he's yanked guys with no hitters going. And I just thought it was great to see Anderson get a shot at that. It would have really, bolstered his career, but, good for Ohtani. He comes up there in triples and ends that, but. There's been a lot of flirtation and not enough finishing, largely because managers are so resistant to it. I think I mentioned last week. I think the next no hitter is going to be Hunter Green. Put me down for that. But,
okay.
But only if they let him, finish.
Yeah, it's funny. There have been flirtations this week. Last night, Robbie Ray against the Angels again. Now they almost got no hit by Anderson the other night, and. Robbie Ray took a no-hitter into the seventh inning, and a little comebacker went off his glove, and they couldn't make a play, and that was the only the hit that broke it up for him in the seventh inning. And then Michaelis against the Pittsburgh team, which, Bruce, I'm watching Pittsburgh, and there's a lot of young players there, not a lot of offense. He went 8 2/3 before this Cal Mitchell hit went over Bader's head. So this week we've had a lot of them.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think there's a really good balance going on. I mean, the hitting is down and the numbers are down, but there's still a lot of great numbers being put up. Good shows being staged by the better guys. I mean, you look at the Mets and the Braves and the Cardinals and the Yankees and the Padres. These guys, all these teams, all have hitters that you can't turn away from. They're all producing. So I don't think it's a league that suddenly is getting routinely no hit through six innings, but there has been kind of a rush of them now. And just when we talk about it, there won't be one for 3 months.
I like it. I guess I'm old fashioned. I like a no hitter.
Absolutely.
It gets a seventh or eighth inning, and you can just feel the tension. And Joe Posnanski wrote something this week about no hitters. Whether they're team-oriented or really a personal achievement, and they really are more team-oriented when you look at the plays made behind a pitcher that's throwing a no-hitter.
Yeah, there's a few examples where, he really should have six hits given up without the great defense. But, I've been lucky enough to see some no-hitters. I was at the Koufax perfect game, which will always stand at the very top for me. I saw Mike Scott's no-hitter, and then Mike Warren of the A's. Whoever he was, people going, who? He threw a no-hitter for the A's. I think Jerry, I saw one by Jerry Royce, too. I've been really lucky. But when you cover the game every day for years, you're going to be lucky that way. But I totally agree with you. I think it's the suspense build, and you always want to know how he's being treated in the dugout. Is he like to be left alone? Is he like to chat it up? And are the announcers, not saying anything because they feel like somehow they could prevent a no hitter by mentioning on the air? And it's all very fascinating.
Well, you bring up Koufax. Interestingly enough, today they're going to unveil the Koufax statue down at Dodger Stadium. How about that? It's going to be right there with Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, just the two of them. Is this the second statue there?
I think so. I don't think they have another one. I don't think there's a Drysdale one, and I think it's just
No. Nobody would get in ahead of Koufax from the L.A. years. He's number one for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe they go with Drysdale. But once you get into that, you're talking about Hershiser and Kershaw, and there's a lot of pitchers in Dodger lore that sort of rank up there with Drysdale, but Koufax rises above everybody, and that's great. I mean, Koufax and Jackie Robinson, bridging the two cities 3,000 miles apart, and the history of the team, that's wonderful.
Let's talk a little bit Giants for a minute here. Offensively, Bruce, they're struggling. 8 home runs, last 8 have all been solo shots. He still platoons all the time, mid-game, doesn't matter when it is. How do you feel about the Giants right now? Now they go into Atlanta, you know, after 2 here with Pittsburgh, and then it's Atlanta for 4. What do you think about the ball club right now?
Well, it reminds me a lot of last year. You know, mm-hmm. it's not star-studded by any means. I mean, they're not going to put anybody in the All-Star game from the position players. And when you measure them just in terms of reputation against all the guys who are going to be in the All-Star game, you figure they'd be lucky to win a game. But, of course, they do have the great pitching. But they seem to come up with enough offense just, you know, to make it work, to get that 3-1 lead for the starter. They have guys who seem to be timely hitters, Estrada, Gonzalez, Yaz. I mean, and, you know, Jock Peterson is going deep every now and then. And, you know, now they got Longoria and Belt hopefully coming back. And it seems a little bit patchwork. And I think Kepler does his maneuverings by necessity. I think every little edge he can get, platooning, a mid-game replacement, this guy does well against that guy. It gets a little tedious for some of us, you know, in the analytics age, but I think with the Giants, I think it's crucial, and he's proven that those guys really know what they're doing when it comes to matchups. We've got a season almost and a half of this. That's pretty good evidence that, you know, as sort of ordinarily talented as they are, they get an awful lot done.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. How about this Luis Gonzalez? Starts it off last night with the home run. He throws someone out at the plate this week. And now they've got him up in the leadoff spot. How about that?
Yeah, and what's not to like with this guy? He makes a diving catch. He does have a very good arm. He's a good hitter. You know, he's not going to hit 330, but he looks good up there. He's delivered a lot of key hits. He just doesn't look like a guy who, well, you know, they're going to figure him out and we won't even see him at the team in September. That's a great find, tremendous find. And, again, it's a guy that you'd never really heard of until all of a sudden he shows up, you know, a la Lamont Wade or whoever you want to talk about. But I really like him. Great, great find there.
Yep, yeah, very good. Crawford played in his 1,500th game. How about that? I mean, when I stand back and think about it for a second, 1,500th game as a San Francisco Giant and up in that list of, you know, the Mazes and people like that. How about that?
Well, yeah, just, you know, he's an iconic figure in franchise history. You know, I'm looking for him to have a little bit of revival. He's kind of struggling right now. He's not hitting. He made an error. The ball came up on him. A couple other plays that probably felt he should have made. And you're used to him making every single play, no matter how hard it is. And he's not over the hill, but he's struggling a little bit right now. I think, you know, a resurgence from him would be huge. You know, driving in some runs that he's not driving in right now. But it's just overall, I mean, it's I love these guys who never play for anybody else. Mm. You know, just like Posey, and it's such a fine thing to have on your record, especially if you were a winner. You know, Crawford's got the rings and the reputation, the All-Star games, and it all happened in one place, which is a really nice package.
Yeah, and when the balls hit to him, I still feel good. Right? The balls hit the short, put it in the book.
Forget it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. 1,500th game as a San Francisco Giant. I think I hope it gets recognition from the ballpark, from the fans and everyone else when the Giants come back and play again here against mm-hmm. Cincinnati next weekend. He deserves it. He really does. He deserves it. And I'm glad Belt is back, too. You know, as funny as he looks, he just, you know, it looks like he can't run and everything else. The guy doesn't have a rehab assignment. Nothing happens. He just give him a bat, and next thing you know is a double in the outfield. The outfielders don't see the ball. Hits one over the wall, bloops one in. It's uncanny what this guy does.
Well, I've got my captain's hat on.
And he's the
captain. I'm taking the boat out in a little while. Yeah, when he's going good and he created that role for himself and he played it so well and everybody got a huge kick out of it and it really gave the team a tremendous emotional boost along with, you know, what he gives you on the field. The knee thing is bothersome. You know, his knees are not young by any means. And, you know, you'd like to think that he's good for, you know, a good 50-game stretch where he is absolutely ready to go in full strength. And if that happens, I mean, what a blessing, you know, defensively too. That would really help him.
Well, you know, it's funny. As we talk baseball here with Bruce Jenkins on this Saturday, Giants and Pirates coming up. Alex Wood today, Bruce and Quintana. Now, two good lefties, veteran lefty pitchers. What do you think about today? I'll start with that one.
Well, I'd expect a lot from Wood. Like you say, the Pirates are very young. They don't have a lot of good hitters. I really like Brian Reynolds, but, you know, it's not a lineup full of mashers. But, you know, the Giants really don't have that either. If Quintana is on, it could be a game like last night's. But I'd like to see Wood go, you know, as deep as he feels that he should. You know, sometimes that can be an issue when he comes out too early with all the Giants pitchers. But the great thing about Kapler is that he's completely flexible. I mean, just when you think he's yanking guys, like that's all he's going to do, he'll leave somebody in. And the confidence is restored, and in all as well, which is really all the guys you know expect of a manager to see what's in front of them and react to that. But I'm going with Wood leaves after seven with a 2-1 lead.
Okay, very good. I like it. And two solo home runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they scored today. The one guy who's turned it up a notch, and a notch would be 115 miles an hour. That's Duvall, Bruce. I think he's. I'm telling you, I said this a couple of weeks ago. I think he's turned the corner. I think he's ready to be that guy that you put him in the ninth inning, you're not going to have trouble, and he's going to just take care of business.
Yeah, you know what's great about him is that, you know, no matter what count it is, even if you're just fully expecting a fastball, I think when his slider is on, that's his best pitch. I think he's the most comfortable with that, and it's absolutely lights out, low and away to a right-hand hitter, or, you know, down and in, making it really tough on a lefty. And meanwhile, he throws close to 100, and every save he gets, the confidence builds. I mean, I thought from the minute he took the mound the very first time for the Giants in his early outings, he just had a great look about him, like he belonged out there. You know, he's got mound presence, which comes in a lot of different forms, you know, from Mark Fidrich to Al Roboski to, you know, this guy, but it's a totally different thing. But he just in his stoic way, I think there's a presence to him that suggests something good's going to happen. So yeah, I think he's definitely surpassed McGee and Rogers as the last guy out there to get the save, and that's. You know, if that's going to happen the rest of the season, there's yet another reason the Giants are going to stay in it.
Yeah, I think he will, and he nothing bothers him.
No.
You know, he gets in that count, the 2-0 count, 3-0 count, and he just comes right back.
Yeah.
And he's pretty tough. I agree with you. I think that's been a big part of what's going on with this ball club. Now, a couple of other things that came up this week. Have you seen the Yankees home run belt? Now, of course, teams. One team has a hat. They put. I think it's the Angels. They put on a cowboy hat, and another team's got a jacket. Well, the Yankees have a new belt, and it's made out of 24-karat gold or something, you know, wild. And someone brought up the fact that the A's used to have a belt back in the late '80s. It was made out of cardboard. They'd give to the guy with the lowest body fat, and it was either Ricky Henderson or Velarde or something like that. But, boy, times have changed, haven't they?
Well, now you've got to have a gimmick. You know, maybe you're rolling down the dugout on wheels, or
you've got
a straw hat or a cowboy hat, and, you know, all the gyrations and celebration, that the hand, you know, everything going on with the hands. And yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, the Yankees, I'm not aware of this belt. First of all, if it's 24-karat gold, somebody's going to steal it, and they have to figure something else out. But you know, they, of all teams, I mean, good Lord, between Judge and Stanton and Rizzo and really up and down the lineup, they're just a home run machine. They've got, you know, Toronto's a pretty good club. And they've got an 11-game lead on them. They're playing 750 ball right now, and I tell you, it's fun to watch. Rizzo is my guy. I said early on he's going to hit 40. I still think he's going to do that. Who knows what about Judge and Stanton? Stanton's healthy and, you know, hitting homers to all parts of the field. And, you know, Donaldson is playing great. He seems to be over that issue he had with the White Sox. So and between Taillon and Chavez, Nestor, is it Nestor Chavez?
Cortez.
Cortez, I'm sorry. Nestor Cortez. These two young guys now are the anchors of the rotation, and then they look like they're for real. So how do you stop them?
No, 48-16. And coming up after you, Keegan Mathison is going to join us. He covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com. And, of course, the Yankees are up there in Toronto. And where do you hear the numbers that Toronto has put up? You know, and where they stand offensively, pitching-wise, the bullpen. And they're still 11 games behind the Yankees. Unbelievable. I'm going to comment on Rizzo, though, Bruce. You know, he has become like the voice of the ball club. You don't hear much from Judge or anyone. But Rizzo has taken that role, and he's really run with it.
Yeah, yeah. I love the stance. He's got the perfect left-handed stance. He's not in a crouch. He doesn't drape the bat over his shoulder. He's got the hands out a little bit. Not quite Matt Olson, but they're out there. It's very calm, mostly erect. And he just looks like he's going to do some damage, and does. But, you know, he was a big-time winner with the Cubs, very influential guy there. Mm-hmm. He's a guy you don't let go. The Yankees should never let go of him, especially with that right field porch and the beautiful swing that he has. But invaluable guy. Always like Rizzo. He hit a slam.
Yesterday.
I mean, he's completely taken off. But yeah, Toronto, great matchup today. By the way, they got Manoa going out there against Tyone. That's a really good pitching matchup. That would be a good, at least a morale booster, if Manoa can beat the Yanks, as he's got the stuff for it.
Boy, 48-16, and every Yankee team that's gone off to that kind of start has ended up winning and all sorts of things. So it's tough to argue 48-16, a 750 winning percentage. Seriously, 64 games in.
Come on.
You know, if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they're going to win 98 games. You know, that kind of thing. So it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Rob Manfred came out. Two more things here. Came out this week, Bruce, and does he give a State of the Union? I don't know why he gives these speeches. But somehow he came out and said, it doesn't look like we're going to do the robo-umps next year. They're not satisfied with the system. But it sounds like the pitch clock and the shift they are going to deal with next year.
Yeah, it was his annual "Here's what's not happening" speech.
Really? What? Yeah. Why does he do this?
You know, the A's in Toronto, Tampa need a new park. Yeah, we'll see in 5 years what he's been saying, the same thing. You know, it's good Lord. But yeah, it does seem that the pitch clock and the shift restrictions are going to come in next year. I'm all for that. I know John Shea is too, and. You know, I'm basically resistant to change, you know, just in life, probably to my detriment sometimes. But, I mean, the pitch clock has just worked way too well in the minors, from the game times reduced by a half an hour to the pitchers not complaining and the hitters adjusting. I think that's going to be really interesting to watch. I think once they get that in there, it's going to be not a big deal after a while, and the games will be quicker. And the shift... You know, we've talked about this a lot, and, you know, it's a drag when you tell people where you can't play, but I just think two infielders on each side of the bag is the way to go. You know, on the dirt, it's aesthetically refreshing. I just think it's fair, and there's nothing wrong with it. The game has played a million years that way, and the shift has just gotten a little too overbearing. I welcome both of those things if they actually happen.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do that. They've got to give notice, and then they go to a competition committee and all that. So at least that's underway. But the umpire thing does not look like it's going to happen. And we had Hunter Wendelstad again this week. Bruce, I love the name. I love his father, who's a great umpire. But I'm telling you something. Hunter Wendelstad has no idea the strike zone. We saw it again in the Kansas City series.
Oh my God! Yeah, and it's you know, I watch a lot of games from around the league and both leagues, and you just see these instances where, God, I mean, God, it's just a terrible call. It's so costly. You know, a 3-1 pitch is right there, and it's, you know, ball four. That's you know, first guy in the inning, and now you're just the whole mood changes on that thing, and that shouldn't happen. Or a pitch, you know, 6 inches outside, called a strike, and it gets to be too much. I think we can live with it. We've lived it for years, but I don't think it's ever been worse.
But the
automatic umpire system is still not perfect, and that's you know, they have to know that it won't be a travesty like right out of the gate. But I mean, the strike zone itself is weird. I forget which game I was watching last night, but you know how they put that little square on the screen?
Sure.
Okay, the bottom of it was below. I think it was belt. The bottom of it was below the knees, and the top of it was at the belt. What the hell? What happened to the letters? That's really? The strike zone? I mean, it's just wrong. It's wrong from the get-go. You better fix the strike zone before you make it automatic.
We'll talk about it tomorrow, about Howard Bryan and his new book, Ricky. But how about Ricky Henderson's strike zone? How would you even put the box up for that?
I mean, yeah, for all of his greatness, and he was a hell of a hitter, you know, on top of everything else. But, yeah, it was very, very hard to strike the guy out, and you know, he hit out of a crouch, and meanwhile he also hit one 480 feet.
I mean, yeah, we'll talk about him tomorrow.
I think about Ricky. Yeah, I think about him a lot. You know, and how great he really was. I was so lucky to be covering the A's when he broke in the early season when he set the record, and just a marvel, tremendous.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting with you tomorrow about Howard's new book, Ricky.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. All right, a historical note today, and I remember this one. Of course, we're kind of the middle of the month, and that's when trades used to happen. But Charlie Finley, he sells Joe Rudy and Fingers to the Red Sox. They're actually there in the Coliseum, invited to the Yankees, and 2 days later, Bowie Kuhn says, nah, I'm not going to let that happen. How about that? I remember that so well.
Yeah, I do too. It's in 1976, that was really the first time the Chronicle was sending me out to cover games, and I was there that night. I'll never forget the sight of Rudy and Fingers walking towards me before the game in Red Sox uniform. What the? Oh my! This is not a joke. You know, I mean, Rudy finds out about it, you know, on the radio. He's driving home on an off day. He hears about it on the radio. He figures, well, the Red Sox are in town. That'll make it easy. I'll just go over there. He shows up at the park, and he sees his gear being carted down the hallway to the other clubhouse. And then Raleigh walks in a little bit later, and he's got a locker next to Carl Yastrzemski. It's just surreal stuff. I mean, yeah, Kuhn found out. And, you know, Rudy Finley's case, you know, as dastardly as this was, you know, players have been sold for years. What I did, I just sold some players. What legal ground do you have? But Bowie Kuhn met with a lot of people around the game, and he finally did call it off, you know, which I think was there was a little element of sanity there. Both of those guys, Rudy and Fingers, both became free agents that winter. They went to the Angels in San Diego, and as they stayed in Oakland, the A's almost got back to the playoffs again. They finished barely behind Kansas City in that weird 76 season, but yeah, that was a sight I'll never forget. And Vita, you know, almost he was going to go, you know, pitch for the Yankees in Chicago, but he held off and make sure it was official. Just, oh my God,
I love it. Yeah, that was quite a night. And 76, I think that's when they stole like 500 bases with Chuck Tanner, if I'm not mistaken, right? Wasn't that 76?
I believe that was
the
year.
Don Baylor. Yeah. That's when they ended up with Don Baylor, and they traded Reggie and all
yeah,
that.
almost won it again. That they had a, you know, they won it in 74, 75. They got into the playoffs and they had a near miss, and they're right back out in 76. But Finley was so adamant about dismantling that team, he sure succeeded, didn't he?
Oh boy! Oh, we got a lot to talk about with the A's and what's going on with them now. Well, look, Bruce, have a beautiful Saturday, and we'll talk earlier tomorrow. Giants in Pittsburgh. We got an early start tomorrow, so have a good day.
Thanks. I'll get the coffee going.
Okay. Very good.
Take care.
All right. Always great talking ball with Bruce. We've got more coming up. Keegan Matheson's going to join us. He covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com, and as Bruce says, a big pitching matchup today. This Alex Manoah has been terrific, and the Blue Jays are 11 back of the Yankees, but it's time to catch up with the Blue Jays because they're going to be in this thing all year long, even as a wild card team. They are very solid, and Kevin Gausman is there too. So we'll catch up with Keegan Matheson, who covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com. Right after this, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.